Hello and welcome to episode 2 of This Key Discussions, a proudly South African soccer podcast. I am AB Besson. We've got another exciting podcast coming up this week as we review this past weekend's MTN 8 results, where Mamelodi Sundowns suffered a first round exit. We also look ahead to the opening weekend of the 2020-21 DStv Premiership season. Joining me to discuss all of this and more is award-winning sports reporter Carl Lewis. Carl, not to be mistaken with 9-time Olympic gold medalist of the same name, is a former EWN sports reporter and is currently the head of content at bet.co.za. Carl, thanks for joining me. Before we get started on soccer matters and the PSL, the start of the DStv Premiership season, maybe let's just talk about the Raider Sports Media, the sports quiz on Tuesday evenings. You and Team Yellow, how did you guys do this week?
Yeah, I had to start with that. You know, we came last, AB.
There's a reason I'm asking.
You know, we came last, but I mean, we were champions 2 weeks ago, so we kind of like that. We're the enigma of the sports quiz, you know, this diverse group of guys that were just randomly put together. But I mean, we formed quite a great bond. Our WhatsApp group is going constantly through the day. And actually, I missed the braai, but there was a little braai over the weekend. And yeah, so, and Cyrus has released a book, so we're supporting him. So it's weirdly enough, the lockdown sports quiz has kind of made this small little brotherhood. So it's been quite cool, despite the fact that we on the losing side for the most part, but we have had two wins.
Yeah, look, once Tyron started asking the PSL questions, I thought, here we go. You know, we get a top three at least. Shootout, here we come. But yeah, Team Blue has not made a convincing start. We, you know, we like to challenge here at the top, but it seems to not be going our way so far.
Let's just start. You guys have a strong team.
Yeah, we do have a strong team, but, you know, sometimes we've struggled with numbers over the past few weeks, you know, as lockdown, as people have started coming out of lockdown, I think, you know, yeah. We're just starting with our routines again. And we're in the sports industry at the end of the day, and we work on Tuesday nights sometimes. It's just the nature of the game. On that note, Carl, how did you get into sports journalism? Obviously, a lot of people know you from your time at EWN, but now you're at bet.co.za. How did it start for you? You went to a proud school, SACS, a lot of famous names, Dane Piet, Carl Brown. How was that growing up in Cape Town and coming from a sports school like that?
I think my whole sports thing started with my family. Both sides of my family are relatively sports mad. Before SACS, I mean, I played cricket and rugby there. I was playing soccer for a club because they didn't offer, but my family was into soccer, and we had a baseball club as well, so I was playing baseball. So sport has kind of always been my thing, like whether it's playing, watching, although I do prefer watching over playing. But sport has honestly just been in my blood through the years. It's never, ever stopped. I think it's kind of defined me, to be very honest with you.
Just for those who are not in the know, what exactly do you do at bet.co.za? Obviously, a lot of betting tips, et cetera. And obviously, not just on soccer matters, rugby, cricket, across board.
Yeah, well, I'm head up the content department. So like you said, a lot of betting-focused content, but also I work with very good writers, and I think we create like really good readable content that's not just betting. You know, I love the team of writers that I work with and the platform that I'm given at BetCoza. Because, you know, AB, in the journalism field, there isn't much money. And so you know, it's really tough to kind of be given the resources for you to create the content you want. So being at a betting company, I think you have that bit more freedom to create good quality sports content, and hopefully that continues. Yeah.
Well, the DStv Premiership season starts this coming weekend. Quick turnaround from, you know, after the bio bubble. And, you know, we're happy to see teams back at their own stadiums. Unfortunately, fans won't be allowed just yet. What are you expecting from this season? We've seen a lot of surprises, you know, in the Premier League. We've got, you know, Aston Villa, Everton doing well in La Liga. We've got Real Sociedad at the top. What do you do you expect more surprises this season from a South African point of view?
I think I do, yes. I think, you know, what the bio bubble taught us is that a lot of things can happen. Anything can happen. So I am expecting a different type of season. I'm not sure if we'll get a surprise winner, but I definitely think we'll have some surprise results along the way, a lot of them, specifically with there being no crowds, you know, and the fact that we're still in the midst of a pandemic, I think that plays on people's mind. I mean, you were in the bio bubble. It must play on the players' minds in one way or another. So I think we can expect a lot of surprises. And even just how the preseason has started, it's been quite chaotic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. Transfers announced, then suddenly a club is starting, is signing this player. There's three coaches at a certain club. So I think the preseason has kind of shown us, okay, this could be a very weird season. But I'm excited for that. I think that's part of the magic of the PSL of it.
Before we get onto the club with three coaches and obviously the whole TTM saga with Mulenga, etc., we spoke briefly about the bio bubble. 13-point gap Kaizer Chiefs had at some stage last year. I think it was approaching the halfway mark. And then, you know, to lose it on the final day like they did, how big an impact do you think it will have on the team? And how important was it for them to bring in Gavin Hunt, you know, as experienced coach who's won the league four times and achieved success, you know, previously on a shoestring budget, you know, and he won't be able to make signings at Chiefs at this point in time.
I think it was probably important to make the change at the top. Firstly, let me get this out of the way. Last season, for Kaizer Chiefs to have even competed for the league, I think I need to give Ernst Middendorp and Sean Bartlett some credit there. They finished ninth the year before, the season before. And I don't think, especially with the squad that they have, I don't think we could have expected them. So I think they exceeded expectations. But because they were in front for so long, you know, you just got used to they should have won the league. So I first want to give credit to Ernst. However, the high of almost being close to the league and then losing out right at the end, I think that's a massive gut punch for the squad. And I think a changing coach will kind of freshen up the players. And Gavin Hunt is a winner. And I think everyone knows that. He's a hardcore disciplinarian, likes his style of football. And I think that could be what Kaizer Chiefs need. But I thought the change was important to happen because I don't think the players would have reached that level again under Ernst Middendorp. And specifically, I don't think they have a squad that even last year, I don't think they had a squad that could challenge for the league. So I think they exceeded expectations totally.
On that note, you know, keeping hold of Samir Nikovic is obviously, you know, key for Kaizer Chiefs, especially that they can't make signings right now. How impressed were you with his impact? You know, I think a lot of people raised their eyebrows. He's coming from, you know, unknown European league. We thought, you know, what's he going to bring to Chiefs? You know, over the past few seasons, they've made some terrible signings, players that just didn't work out. Were you surprised by as many, you know, like I was as well surprised by his impact?
I was definitely surprised because, you see it in South Africa with coaches and with players. You get these overseas flops, you know. You think because they played overseas, perhaps they'll fit into the league and make a huge difference. So he's really an outstanding talent. I think Gavin Hunt will enjoy working with him. Mm. He's definitely someone that can lead the line, hold up the ball. He also has the technical quality. So I think he can do everything as a striker. So I was very blown away by how good he is. And he seems very focused. Not just a good player, but he seems like he wants it. And playing for Kaizer Chiefs means something to him. So, yeah, I was very, very impressed. He's a quality, quality player. And that's the type of talent we need to bring in our league because he's raising the standards. And some of our local younger players can look at him as an example.
almost identical situation for Ajax Cape Town, obviously on our Cape Town Spurs. They've also changed their coach. They've let go a lot of players. They've been signing a few. I think in the past week they signed three players. Nuruddin's back at the club. What do you think went wrong at Ajax Cape Town? You know, they went into the bio bubble with, you know, a huge lead, and you just thought, you know, okay, they're playing away from Cape Town, and Cape teams historically do better at home. What do you think went wrong there, and how big of a blow was it for them to miss out on promotion?
Sure, it's really a tough one to nail down, but I do think there's this sense of fragility around Ajax Cape Town, you know. Ever since I feel they were hard done by, firstly to get relegated. You know, all those seasons back, it went to the High Court. So I think they were unlucky, and they were always on the back foot. I just felt there was this self-fulfilling prophecy at Ajax that, you know, they might never reach that if they, you know, and I just think they're fragile mentally. But for me, where this all started, AB, and you might be more in the know, when Stanley Menza was the coach, I don't feel that they invested in the squad adequately. It just wasn't good enough. Their squad was not a PSL squad, and that cost them. Never mind the court case and the Ndoro case. I just think they did not take enough care on the football side of things. They did not invest in the first team well enough, and now that's coming to bite them in the proverbial bum. Yeah. So that, for me, that's where it started. And I think there's just a sense of fragility around the club. And yeah, it came through.
Well, the fact of the matter is Cape Town Spurs will be playing in the GLAAD Africa Championship this coming season. Who were promoted at the end of the day automatically was Swallows FC. You know, almost crazy how they won it on the last day on goal difference, goals scored, you know, goals against, whatever it was. They've made a long list of signings, almost a whole new squad. How do you think that's a good approach? We've seen in the past where teams get promoted around the world, they come up and they make, you know, 5 to 10 signings and they drop down because there's no time for players to adjust. But obviously now with the second division probably only starting closer to December, do you think, you know, Swallows can make a real impact in the league and maybe be like a Highland Spark or Amatix who are able to get into the top 8 in their first season back?
I personally don't like the approach of just buying in a lot of numbers. I don't like that. And I feel like it's a big issue in South African football in terms of continuity. When you're making 9 signings every year, and I mean, Hunty did it too with success, so I'll give him that, but it just doesn't seem like there's continuity. So I do worry about that approach. However, some of the signings that they made is quality. First of all, I'm a big fan of Ruzeyk Khamildin. I think technically he's one of the better players in the league and knows how to deliver a set piece. But in the same breath, I think there's a beautiful story with Cheese Boy, you know, being such an important part of that team. I think perhaps, you know, he's that type of player, that enigmatic player that really gets fans excited. And I think he might have another chapter to tell in his career. And perhaps Swallows can make the top 8, who knows. But, yeah, I do worry about bringing in so many new players. But the difference between the GLAAD Africa and the PSL, it's quite significant. So you can understand clubs wanting to bring in the quality. But as to if it will work, I can't say. But really, out of the new sides, I'm most excited to see Swallows.
Yeah, I think we saw that with Black Leopards, how easily they, you know, overcame Ajax and TTM in the playoffs. Talking about TTM, a whole new team. You know, Bidvest Wits are something of the past, 99 years down the drain. I think they've only kept 2 players, Noniane and Brighton Mshlongo. And they've unveiled players, and then the players end up in Durban. Is it an indictment on the league? Is it a bad reflection on the PSL? Or do you think it's just a bad reflection on TTM? We've seen teams in the past, you know, TS Galaxy have been a lot more professional in their takeover of Island Spark.
Yeah.
What do you What do you expect from them this season? You know, after, what was it, 33 minutes against SuperSport United in the MTN 8, they were 3-0 down, and I thought, you know, here we go, it's going to be 10-0. But, you know, the individual quality is there. You know, they've got guys like Justin Songa, Ngele, who've got a lot of, you know, individual quality, but at the end of the day, it's about bringing it together as a team. What do you expect from them this season?
Phew. Maybe I don't know what to expect from them, but I think people are very, they haven't been the most professional preseason. You know, releasing press releases about everything. But in the same breath, with everyone gunning for them, they could take the it's us against them approach. You know, everyone's gunning for us. They don't expect much from us. We expect it to be relegated. That could galvanize that squad and make them come together. And I'm glad you brought up the individual qualities of guys like Ngele, who's a personal favorite of mine. I've always liked him as a player. So, and his goal of the weekend just was a nice reminder of his quality. And then there's the interesting case of Songa. I know he was a flop at Pirates, but the one thing I'll give him credit for, he can get into scoring positions. As to his finishing, that's a whole nother story. So I don't think that TTM will strike. I think they could actually make a stir in this league. I'm not saying they're going to finish top eight, but I don't think they'll get relegated on the first time of trying. The club needs a lot of work in terms of how they present themselves to the public.
Yeah.
But that will hopefully come with time. But I think we should hold back on chastising them and coming hard at them and telling them this is how you should do it. They're finding their feet, and I think they might cause one or two surprises.
Yeah, I think Ngele, no, Pirates fans don't need to be reminded about Ngele's qualities, him denying them those trophies. I think it was under Roger Dassault. Same thing with Songa. You know, he had one good season at Pirates, and then last season, I think it's the inconsistency in the end of the day that kills a lot of our players in the league. Talking about inconsistency, maybe from a player that we expect a lot more of, is a guy like Kermit Erasmus, who had a fantastic season last season and was one of the best players in the bio bubble. How big a loss is he to Cape Town City? And do you think Sundowns finally have their striker? You know, they tried to bring in Jeremy Brockie when Pitsa was there before he obviously moved to Al Ahly. What do you think Kermit brings to that team? And do you think he'll have, I don't want to say a breakout season, because he is now, you know, he's getting on in age. But maybe, you know, eclipsing what he did last season.
I think he could. I'll start with the loss for Cape Town City. I think that is an enormous gap to fill. And I don't see anyone within the South African market who can fill that gap. That his goal, I honestly believe he was the difference between City being a decent side to being a very good side. I think he took them to that other level, and he's the best. For me, he's the best striker in the league in terms of his movement, and he's very smart. Technically, we know his quality. So that's a huge loss for City. And I love Fakhri Lekay, but he doesn't have that finesse that Kermit has, I think. And maybe that will come with some time, because I really think Fakhri is someone that Cape Town City need to invest time in. I think he's a quality player, and hopefully that's his season. But moving to Kermit to Sundowns, phew, because of that move, I find it hard to see who's going to take this title away from Sundowns. They've got Shalulile and they've got Kermit. And, you know, both of them are very good strikers, clever movement, hardworking. I think Sundowns have had a massive window, and I think Kermit will be huge for Sundowns. For me, I know others might disagree, but I feel he's the best striker in the league and has the ability to make the most impact because of his pace, because of his movement, and because of his technical quality.
Let's stick with Sundowns. Like you said, a massive impact in the transfer market once again. It's nothing new for Sundowns to do that. We're all pretty used to them spending big money in the transfer market. But obviously the big loss was Pitso Mosamane going to Al Ahly. I don't think people understand the huge impact he made there in 8 years. When he arrived, you know, they were battling at the wrong end of the table. Yes, they didn't finish in the top eight that first season, but after that, it was almost flawless. What do you expect from the trio of coaches that have been appointed there now? And do you think it can work? You know, there's obviously they lost their first game, but again, Mosimane never won the MTN 8 as the Sundowns coach. So we can say, you know, that's nothing big. They usually start quite slow. So maybe, you know, they'll pick up momentum as the season goes. But besides that, do you think this is something that can work? And were you surprised by Steve Compella taking a role that's under two coaches, considering he's been a head coach for, you know, most of the last 10, 15 years?
Well, Abe, I think the fact that there's three coaches, it obviously opens themselves up to great banter from rival fans. But you strip away that layers of banter and we have something very, very interesting, something that I've never seen before and something that definitely hasn't happened in local football. So I'm keeping a very keen eye on this experiment. I think it's fascinating. And, you know, it could end in a failure, then it might not be progressive, but this is quite a progressive way of doing things. So we'll see how it goes. I think Mankoba and Rulani, they're obviously different types of characters. And I think, you know, with Compella there, perhaps as, you know, the casting vote, the cerebral one, the calm one, the senior one, to kind of iron out any differences there may be. This triumvirate could be really successful. I think, you know, Rulani's maturing. He is maturing, but he's around two very mature and experienced coaches. So I think there's a potential for this to work. And what makes it even easier is that they just have an outstanding squad to make this work. So, you know, away from the banter, I'm very keen to see how this thing works out. I think we should keep a close eye. It's so new. It's so fresh. It's so unique to football and South African football. So let's see if it works. I'm so fascinated to see.
Talking about fresh and new, Pirates started six former Bitvest Wits players this past weekend in their win against Cape Town City. Obviously, it was a surprise seeing Tulani Shlatswayo of the captain's armband, Happy Jelly named on the bench. Maybe we can get your thoughts on that. But also on the new signings and Richard Ofori obviously now going there, probably been one of the best goalkeepers in the league for the past 3 years. Wayne Sandilands, to his credit, I mean, he probably exceeded expectations last season, still going strong. And I think he'll probably still have a part to play, even if it's just in the cup games. Maybe Richard will play the league games. We'll see how the head coach brings that into the fold. But what have you made of their window? And, you know, it's been 6 years now since Pirates have won a trophy. They like to allude to Kaizer Chiefs' trophy drought a lot, but Pirates is even longer. And, you know, it's such a historic club. How much pressure are they under to achieve success this season?
I think the German Zimbabwe is under a lot of pressure. I think the time is now. He's had half a season to kind of settle in. But with regards to their window, superb window, outstanding window. If it wasn't for Sundowns just buying these outstanding players, I honestly think Orlando Pirates have actively plugged the holes that needed plugging. I think we need to give credit to Sandilands, but for a league-winning title, I think Ofori is the right man. And they needed someone in central defense. And, I mean, it's the Bafana captain. The club he supported as a boy. So those over there are two fantastic signings. And I think it addresses their immediate problems right away, and they can hit the ground running. But for me, probably my favorite signing is Dion Otto. I don't feel the Namibian gets enough credit. He, in terms of technique and delivery, there is few that can touch him. I always feel that there is such a lack of technical quality and finesse in the league when it comes to set pieces, but his delivery is just beautiful from set pieces and crosses. So I think he's going to make a major impact. And my hope is that they don't play him at left wing back and further up the field where he can have an impact. But look, besides, you know, the bio bubble was new for everyone. And before that bio bubble, you know, Zimbabwe had a very good thing going. you know, the Orlando Pirates team played with a lot of intensity before that. And they were ruthless in terms of defense. I thought they were quite good. So I think we need to need some perspective and maybe not judge them on the bio bubble, because we don't know the factors there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if anything, Pirates are best placed to challenge Sundowns for the league. They've had an outstanding window.
You mentioned Hotto there, but obviously they've got Poulet, Lorch, Mahango, who was obviously joint top scorer in the EPSA Premiership last season. How do they fit all these players into the first team? And maybe if we could just allude to Tyson taking the captain's armband. Do you see him and Happy Jele playing next to each other? Do you think that might be their strongest combination at centre-back this season?
I hope those two play together. I feel someone like Happy Jele is a bit underrated, and I do feel he's an important player specifically for Pirates. So I hope to see those two together. In terms of where they're going to play, what formation they're going to play, I mean, are they going to play 5-5-2-5 at the back, you know, with Innocent Mayele, the centre back, or are they going to go 4 at the back with Mayele at left back? But I'm not sure exactly who. There's Wade Uster, but I'm not sure who's going to be their starting right back. But they have such fantastic midfielders. I don't want to see guys like Ndlovu shifted out wide. I'd like to see players like him playing in their natural positions. He's got a good squad to work with. He really does. And I feel, like I said, they addressed their main issues. I'm not sure what formation they're going to go with this season, but I honestly think we need to watch out for this team.
Just lastly, on the transfer point of view, I think we can't leave without touching on Amazulu. Obviously, you know, SuperSport United have made some signings. Stellenbosch have made some adequate signings, I feel, as of all the teams. But maybe Amazulu made the biggest impact this week, just before the start of the season, unveiling not just Mamela and Mulenga, but, you know, 2010 FIFA World Cup star Sipiwe Tshabalala. How surprised were you to see him back in professional football?
Yeah, it was quite a surprise. I think Chubbs is probably always, he probably is fit in terms of his match fitness. I'm not sure. But if they're playing in a system where it allows him to kind of use his technical ability instead of having to track back, that would be great. But just how Mamela and him are going to play in the same team remains to be seen. That was interesting. But Mamela is definitely my favorite signing out of Mulenga, Tshabalala. He didn't always have the consistency I'd have liked, but there's moments where you just like, Luvo Mamela, you are an outstanding footballer, you know?
Remember the one Soweto... Soweto derby. The one Soweto derby where he came off the bench against Kaizer Chiefs for
yeah, and made all the difference.
Yeah.
He's got a great football brain. He can break lines with his passing, his through balls. I think he's an excellent signing. And Mulenga, as well, like Chonga, all the talent in the world, but I think he just needs that chance to shine. But I'm very excited to see what Amazulu bring to the party, especially with Mulenga and Mamela. And then Tshabalala, let's see his fitness, but he's always been one of the best technicians in South African football. So if he doesn't have to track back, he can make an impact and a positive impact.
Carl, I'm going to put you on the spot. Yeah, I've got the 8 fixtures for the weekend in front of me. So I'm just going to run through them, and I just want a quick score prediction. You don't have to think too long about it. We won't hold it against you. Let's start with the first one, Bloem Celtic versus Arrows. What do you think will happen there?
I'm going to go for 1-0 Bloem Celtic win.
Obviously, Bloem Celtic beating Sundowns in the MTN 8 and reaching the Nedbank Cup final. So I think, you know, they might be underdogs again. Next up, Baroka versus Maritzburg United. Maritzburg obviously had a good season last season. Baroka, you're surviving by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, but I think Baraka's at home in that one, right?
That's right.
So I don't think it will be. Sometimes, you know, to back up such a good performance that they had over the weekend,
yep.
it's not always that easy. And especially when you're going to Limpopo, you're going to Baraka, that's also not easy. So I'm going to go for a Baraka. Actually, no, I'm going to go for a 0-0.
No. Okay, safe bet. Next up is the big game of the weekend, Kaizer Chiefs versus Sundowns. What do you think will happen there?
I think 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw.
I was going to say Sundowns will have too much quality, but I mean, it's too early in the season for that cohesion and continuity. And so, yeah. And Gavin Hunt, it's a big game. I think he's going to be super focused and, you know, he's going to have those defensive blocks that Sundowns is going to struggle to break down. So, but I will say there will be goals. So 1-1 draw.
Cape Town City versus Chippa. In the mother city?
You know, Cape Town's upsetting result over the weekend. And I still think their squad needs a lot of, not a lot, but I think they need to fill areas that they need to fill. There's a lot of onus on Fakhri Lekay to score now. And, you know, Tassi Morris, you've seen him play.
Yeah.
Really talented footballer, but he needs to reach that level that we thought he would maybe 5 years ago. So it's big pressure on those two Cape Town boys to score goals for the team. But I think they'll have more than enough to overcome Chipper. I'm going to say 2-0.
SuperSport versus Black Leopards?
SuperSport 1-0. No. SuperSport 2-0.
2-0. Convincing. AmaZulu versus Pirates in Durban?
This is a tough one. But I think Pirates are going to edge it 2-1.
And then the battle of the newbies, TTM versus TS Galaxy.
You know, I think the run out last week would have given TTM some a bit of confidence. Hmm. So I honestly think it's not going to be a high scoring affair, and I think they'll take that 1-0.
And then last but not least, down in Cape Town, Stellenbosch versus Swallows at the Donny Craven Stadium.
Sure, it's really going to be tough for Stellenbosch to replicate last season. But I think if you look at the club as a whole, they're in good shape. And I don't think they'll have the perfect start this season. I mean, in this match. But I think they'll be solid this season once again. So I think this match will be a draw. Let's go with 1-1.
Cool. Thanks, Carl. Thanks for your predictions and thanks for joining us on Disky Discussions. We look forward to hosting you in the near future again.
I look forward to coming back, Gaby. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Cheers, Carl. Here's what to look forward to in next week's episode of Disky Discussions. We look back at the opening round of the DStv Premiership season alongside a prominent name in South African soccer circles. If you have any questions or things you'd like us to discuss on Disky Discussions, please hit me up at AB_Basson on Twitter or Instagram. Away.